We're going to be quick. My throat will hold up by as long as the Lord let it hold, Brother Bradley. So we're going to be quick. We're going to get the point across. Had one tell me, just don't get loud. That's about like telling a car not to crank. That's about like telling a vicious bulldog not to bite. Can I get a witness? Brother Connor, it ain't got to be a bulldog. Where's Connor Robinson? It ain't got to be a bulldog to get us, does it? Be a little chihuahua below my house down there. That thing loves Brother Connor. It wants his ankles. Woo, glory. I'm glad to be here this morning. Genesis chapter number 32. I've got about four sermons this morning, but I'm only going to preach one. And I'm going to preach the one I believe God's gave me, okay? I got a phone call this morning around 9 o'clock, and it was a preacher. And he said, what you preaching on this morning? I said, if God don't change my mind, I'm preaching on being face-to-face with God. He said, it's hard to be face-to-face with God. I don't know if we can be face-to-face with God. Can I say to you, in the Old Testament, we couldn't be face-to-face with God. We'd die. Amen. Amen. But the New Testament, when that veil was rent from top to bottom, and our high priest, Jesus Christ, died on that old rugged cross, buried for 3 days, and rose again on that third day, and he come forth, at that moment, we have access in, Brother Brad, to the Holy of Holies. We have access in to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. We have access in to God Almighty. You say, preacher, that scares me to death. It ought to scare you to death. It ought to scare me to death, being in the presence of Almighty God. And this morning, I just want to ask you a question. Have you ever been face to face with God? Genesis chapter number 32, and we'll begin reading this morning in verse number 22. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 22. If you found your place, say amen. And the Bible, boy, ain't that good. Look around you today. You are blessed. Churches are dying, closing their doors. We're blessed. Our prayers, man, we got to kick a wall out. Don't quit coming because there's a crowd. I don't like a crowd. You're going to be in trouble in heaven. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You keep doing what God's called you to do. You keep being what God's called you to be. You get face to face with God, and it won't bother you who's around you. And the Bible says in Genesis 32 and verse number 22, and he rose up that night, talking about Jacob, and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford, Jabbok, and he took them and set them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the break of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. I'm going to go ahead and step out on a limb this morning. I'm talking to somebody that's been wrestling with God this morning. You've been wrestling with a decision in your life to follow Him, to rededicate your life, to step out into the ministry, what God's called you to do. And all you're doing is wrestling with God. You're coming in every Sunday wrestling with God. He's put a calling on your life, and all you're doing is wrestling with God. Hey, can I say to you this morning, when you ever wrestle with God, He always wins. Can I get a amen? And the Bible said, he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face. There it is. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, I want to say it's good to be in your house. I want to thank you that you've restored the joy of my salvation, Father. How you've reached down from heaven, and Lord, you've lit a fire under me, and I thank you for that this morning. I thank you for a church that'll pray. I thank you for a church that'll plead the blood of Jesus over their pastor. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you guard my throat and you guard my thoughts. Let me get the point across this morning that you've laid on my heart this week. Father, I pray that your will be done. I pray right now with that one that is wrestling with you. Father, they're face to face with you and they're wrestling with you. And Father, they need to step out from where they're at and they need to come to an old timey altar and they need to do business with you because you're still an old timey God. Father, things ain't changed. This world may have changed, but you ain't changed. The Bible said that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord God, I pray that you'd move in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you have your will. I pray that you have your way. Lord, this morning, well, you may be 4 days late, but you're right on time. Hey, this morning we're praying, come, Jesus, come. How great you are, Father. How great thou art that you do the things that you do. So now I ask you to illuminate my mind. Open the ears of the hearers. Let them hear what the Spirit saith. Let the Holy Ghost have freedom. And we ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning to get face to face with God. As we come this morning, you understand that Jacob was here and Jacob had deceived his father Isaac and he has stolen Esau's blessing. As you read your Bible, you'll understand that Jacob has come to a place in his life where he no longer could be a deceiver or a liar any longer. He had finally come face to face with God. And I want you to know all through his life, he had been a deceiver. He had been a liar. He had been a fake. He had been a failure. He hadn't been what God had called him to be. But he finally come to a place that he was face to face with God. And you say, preacher, what was his response? What was Jacob's response when he finally got to a place that he was face to face with God? I ask you this question this morning. What was your response when you got face to face with God? How did you act when you got face to face with God and the Holy Ghost of heaven came down and knocked on your heart's door? What did you do when you got alone with God? I want to say to you this morning, number one, that Jacob was ready when this came in his life. The Bible says, if you look with me in verse number 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the break of day. You said, you mean he was ready? Oh yeah, he was ready. He had got to this place and he had left his wife and his family on that side of the brook and he went over to meet with God. He went over to that place and he had got alone with God. I want to ask you, when was the last time that you got alone with God? I'm not talking about a service like this when there's a multitude of people. I'm talking about when was the last time that you got ready and you got alone with God and there were nobody there, hey, but you and God. And God was able to get real with you and God was able to talk to you in your life. I see here that the Bible says that he was alone with God in verse number 24 and nobody else is around. That's when you get alone with God and he gets your full attention. There's nobody else there. It's just you and God. Folks, I want you to know this morning, I thank God for them alone times, don't you? Hey, it's just you and God. And he starts reading your mail and he starts telling you what you need to do. He tells you what you need to have in your life, what you need to let go, what you need to hang on to, what you need to relinquish and give to him, and what you need to pick up and keep moving with. I want you to know in my life, there's been times I've been ready to meet God and there's been times I've not been ready to meet him. You say, preacher, why is that? Because there's times I know when he comes my way, Brother Jake, there's things in my life that I got to get right. And when I meet him, I must be ready. And as we come this morning, we understand that the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28, he says, come unto me, all you that are laboring or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning, if you need rest, I ask you to get ready and come to God. Hey, when that time comes and it's time to come to an old-timey altar, you be ready to come to where God is this morning. I see that Jacob was ready. He had wrestled here, but let me give you this. Not only was Jacob ready, but Jacob was relentless. He wouldn't give up. He stood the test of time. I want you to know, when Esau was born, you know what he done? He grabbed his heel. He was always wanting his way. He was always a deceiver. He was always a liar. You remember when Esau got hungry and he came to Jacob? You know what Jacob did? He bought his birthright. He stole his birthright, if you will. But then he came to his father, and his father was going to give him a blessing. And old Jacob had come to a place in his life, and he knew that he was going to get a blessing. And old Esau, he was covered with the blessings of God, but Jacob wasn't. And you know what he wanted? He wanted that blessing. And here's what his mama said. He said, I tell you what you do. You go on and you go on out there. And when you come back, we'll cover you up. And we'll make you look like your Esau. And we'll make you smell like your Esau. And we'll make you act like your Esau. I wonder who in here this morning has really a Jacob deep down. Hey, but you're covered up this morning. Hey, you've disguised. And you look like you're somebody else. Hey, but if God tore back that in your life and he looked deep down on the inside, would you be found being a deceiver? Or would you be the real deal? And as we get here, Jacob come to a place that he was ready, but he finally got relentless. He wouldn't give up. He was tired of the life that he lived. And look what the Bible says in verse number 26. And he said, here's what the angel said unto Jacob. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Jacob said, I want this blessing, and I've got to have it in my life. I wonder who this morning says, God, if you don't bless me, I'm in trouble. Lord God, if you don't touch the doctor's report, I'm in trouble. God, if you don't touch my body, I'm in trouble. God, if you don't touch my mind, I'm in trouble. God, if you don't touch my spirit, I'm in trouble. God, if you don't touch my soul, I'm in trouble. This morning, I want you to know he was relentless. He wrestled with his brother at birth. He wrestled with the Lord for his blessing. And the Bible says that he wrestled until. If you'll get that word there in verse number 24, until the breaking of the day, he was relentless. That means he wasn't willing to give up. He was finally face to face with God. He was finally face to face with God. You know what? You don't always get an opportunity to get face to face with God. You don't always get an opportunity to come into where God is as a lost man. When he knocks on that heart's door and he knocks on your door, at that moment you have an opportunity to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your life. And at that moment, I want you to know you can be saved. You say, preacher, I'll put it off and do it later. Friends, I want you to know Jacob was at a place he had to receive this. He had to receive this in his life. And he got to the place that he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And he was ready. And he was relentless. And he wouldn't let him go. The angel of the Lord was there. It was all around him, and he wasn't going to let go until he received that blessing. And can I say to you, when you receive something of God, you may walk with a limp. Amen. He walked with a limp when God touched him. When God touches your life, something's going to change. You're not going to walk the same way. You're not going to do the same thing. You're not going to talk the same way. There will be something that changes in your life. I see that, hey, he got to the place that he was ready. He said, Lord, I'm face to face with you. I'm ready for this blessing. I'm ready for you to change my life. I'm ready for you to do something. I seen he was relentless. He wouldn't give up. He stood the test of time. He wanted what God had for him. But here's the thing. You can be ready all you want to be. Listen to me. You can be ready all you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You can be ready as you want to be. And you can be relentless as all you want to be relentless. But if you're not real with God, you're in trouble. You see, he left his family over here and he went to do business. He met the Lord. He was ready. He was relentless. But it come to the place, he was all alone with God, and God knew what was on the inside. Can I say to you this morning, it don't matter what your pastor knows about you. It don't matter what your spouse knows about you. But can I say it means the world what God knows about you. He finally had to get real. If you're in here this morning and listen, to admit you got a problem to me is not getting real. To admit you got a problem with a psychiatrist is not getting real. You won't help, you get real with God. You get up, Brother Lee, shake that head. You know what I'm talking about? Glory. Brother Lee don't hardly ever move over here. And he got the body in that head. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He got the rock in that head over there. You want God to move in your life? You get real with God, and I promise you, he'll get real with you. But here's where he's at. Jacob has come. He's deceived. He's a liar. He's wanting it his way. But when he comes face to face with God, God said, you've got to do it my way. Nobody has called Jacob out to this moment, but God will. I don't care how big a man you are in this room, how tough you think you are, and how you got everything together. When you come to God, He will call you out. Why? Because He has the authority. He is the only person in your life that has the authority to go deeper than even you can go. He'll bring things up in your life and show you that you didn't even know was there. He'll bring it to your memory. Look what he says here. He got to this place and he finally had to get real with God. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 27. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" Up to this point, you remember, Jacob has not repented. He has not even one time asked for forgiveness from stealing the blessing from his brother. He said, he went to his father Isaac. He said, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I'm Esau." He said, "Feel." He rubbed him. He said, "You feel like Esau, but your voice sounds like Jacob. You smell like..." Why? Because they covered him where he would smell like Esau. He covered him up. I wonder who in here this morning, you look like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. I thank God that I didn't raise up in church and get all the church lingo and how to say it in front of the church crowd and then live another way in the lost crowd. I thank God I didn't raise up in that and get that lingo how you're supposed to act in church. I thank God He just saved me, gave me a Bible and a burden and people that are lost and need to be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. The church won't change you, but Christ will. And he said, "But you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob." It's what his daddy Isaac said. He said, "You even smell like Esau." But he couldn't get over, "But you sound like Jacob. But you sound like Jacob." You know what his daddy did? He was blind. So he went ahead and blessed him. Can I say to you, God's not going to bless you. He's not blind. Come on, somebody. God, hey, whoa, wait a minute. You say, "Well, I've hid it from God." You ain't hid nothing from God. When you come face to face with Him, you have to make a decision. Am I ready? Well, I didn't, preacher, I'm not asking what you did when you was 8-year-old. I'm not asking what you did when you were 9-year-old. I'm asking you, if you left this walk of life today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? You say, "Preacher, I don't know." You need to get to know Him. You need to get to know Him. You say, like, you act like you're upset with this. I'm not upset with nothing. I just know my time's getting limited and yours is too. He said, "What's your name? What's your name?" And Jacob was at a crossroad, and somebody this morning is at a crossroads. You look, everybody in this place, if I went around this room, I'd touch everybody and say, "Christian." Because you look like a Christian. You dress like a Christian. You act like a Christian. You smell like a Christian. I'd go around this room. And I'd ask every one of you, there's no way, no reason for me to doubt. There's no reason for me to doubt. But it don't matter what I think about you. It matters what God knows. And Jacob has finally come to a place. He has finally come to a place that he has to get real. And the Lord said, "You want that blessing? J.D. Markham, you want that blessing? Tell me really what your name is. Tell me really. Tony Woodham, you want that blessing? Tell me really what your name is. Dalton, you want that blessing? With your mama not sitting beside you, tell me really what your name is. Brother Paul Jeffries, you want that blessing? Without your wife sitting beside you, really tell me what your name is. When nobody at church is around you, and it's just you and God, what does he know?" And he said, "What's your name?" He's at the crossroads, Brother Eric. And here it is. It's game time, son. Could he have lied? Yes. He had a free will to lie. But son, there comes a time in our life you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. He was ready. He was relentless. He was fighting. "I've been fighting this throat and I'm sick and tired up, but I'm not going to quit. There ain't nothing left in me. Because people are still dying, going to hell, and need to be saved, and somebody needs to preach the gospel. The true gospel." He said, "What's your name?" "Eric Cruz, what's your name when Tanya ain't around?" "Uh-huh." He said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Jacob." Lord, you know I've been a deceiver. You know I've been a liar. You know I've been a cheat. You know I've not been what you want me to be. This is who I really am. I'm honest. I'm Jacob. Jacob means deceiver. Man, I've wronged everybody. Here's who I am. I lay it before ye. This is who I am. He finally got real. That's what's wrong with our churches. That's what's wrong with Union Chapel. He said, preacher, we're packed in here. I don't care. I want to tell you, until we all get on the same page and get real with God and say, God, this is who we are. And we need you in the midst of us. We need you all over us. We need you to saturate this place. He said, but who are you? He said, I'm Jacob. I'm that old deceiver. I'm that old liar. I'm the one that everybody thinks has got it going on, but I don't. Can you do anything with me, though? And he said, when you get real, I can do all kind of things with you. Can you really do something with me, Brother Filippo? Can you really use me, Lord? He said, son, I can use you more than you ever thought about being used. Can you really use a man used to run a needle in his arm, Brother Hayden? The Lord said, I can use that man because he got real. Can I really use him? Yes, I'll use him because he got real. Let me show you this. Man, I'm telling you, God's speaking to somebody right now. He has spoken to my heart all week on this. Jacob got real. No longer was he able to lie. He must come clean. When an individual is face to face with God, he must be real. God knows. His eyes see everything, Sister Kim. His eyes see everything. There's no hide and go seek going on with Jesus. You may hide, but he knows where you're at. Proverbs 15:3, Brother Eric can quote this by heart. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and good. I see you had to get real. But I also see that when Jacob finally got ready and relentless, and God said, but who are you? He said, I'm Jacob. He finally received a blessing. He received a name change. A name change. I went to the doctor the other day with my throat, and the doctor asked me, said, they say you're a pastor. I said, yeah, what's left of it? Amen. Brother Bradley, I'm like you, that's a laughing point. What's left of it? And he said, do they call you brother? I said, well, some of them do until we have an alt. No, I'm playing. I didn't tell him. I didn't play. And he said, well, Brother BJ, can I pray with you? I looked at Brandy. She looked at me, and I looked back at her, and I was like, boy, it's been forever since somebody asked me could they pray with me. I said, yes, sir. And he come over there, and I took my hat off. He laid his hand on me. He put his hand back right there, and he said, Lord, I pray for his throat. Lord, I pray for everything that's going on. Lord, you know he's a messenger of yours. And Lord, I ask you right now to touch him in the name of Jesus. Amen. I went to thank him. He turned around and just walked out of the room. When you feel like you're all alone, just get real with God. He'll get real with you. You're not by yourself. So how do you know he received a change? Because his name changed. No longer could you call him a liar, a deceiver. See, when God saves you, he changes you. Never tell somebody, well, you're saved. You just got to live that way. No. When you truly meet the Lord of the universe, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, there'll be a change. You say, well, I still have to deal with this. Oh, no. Let me back up and tell you this. The thorn that is in your flesh, the thorn that God allows to be in your flesh will never be sin. Ain't the God we serve, J.D.? The thorn that he leaves in your flesh, write that down because that ain't here. That's coming from God. Write that down if you're pinning something down. The thorn that you have in your flesh will never be sin. God will never buffet you with that sin, J.D. He won't buffet you with that. He will not. He will not leave that sin. Why? Because he cleansed you from sin. He washed you, delivered you, saved you from sin. And he does not leave that in your side. You may have an ailment of flesh, but not that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He got a name change. Look what he said here, if you will, with me in verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. That means a prince of God. That's what you're going to be called. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. He said, you've won. You're doing good. You've won. I don't want you to close your Bibles right now, but I want you to really pay attention. I heard a story. I want to share it with you. Listen to me. I thank God that he's blessed you in this place. I thank God that he's put his hand on you and he's put his hand on me. I thank God so much for that. Am I on? Can you hear me? I thank God that he's blessed you beyond measures. I thank God that he's poured his spirit out on this place. The greatest thing in your life is not your wife or your kids or your grandkids. Listen to me. It is not. That's a blessing that God's given you. The greatest thing in your life is having a relationship with Christ Jesus. Knowing that there's been a time in your life that you got real, you got face to face with God, and he changed your life. You were headed to hell in a handbasket. Now you're headed to heaven in the blood of Jesus. Listen to me this morning. I come with a word to you. If you've never been face to face with Jesus, you say, well, I don't know if he is. He's in your face this morning. It ain't the preacher. He's in your face right now. If you got something hid in your heart, it's time to get right with God. If you got something deep down that nobody knows about, it ain't time to tell the preacher. It's time to tell God. Amen? It's time to get real with God, because there's coming a time and it's drawing closer that you're going to leave this walk of life, and where he's at in your life is all that will matter. I heard this story this week and I want to read it to you. Alexander the Great, a conqueror of many kingdoms, fell ill, which led him to his deathbed. He gathered his generals and told them, I will depart from this world soon. I have 3 wishes. Please carry them out without fail. And the king asked his generals to abide the last 3 wishes. And he said, I want my physicians, the best in the world that has worked on my body. I want them to carry my coffin out and nobody else. I want all the physicians that's worked on this body to carry my coffin out and nobody else. Secondly, I desire that when my coffin is transported to the grave, the path leading to the graveyard shall display the wealth I've collected. I want all my money, all my gold, everything I got laid out from where I'm going to be all the way to the grave plot. I want it all. He had that much. You can lay it out there. He said, I want all of that laid out. And he said, thirdly, I wish that both of my hands hang out of my coffin. I want 2 holes drilled in my coffin, and I want both of my hands hung out. And the generals agreed to abide by their king's last wishes. But they asked him, they said, Sir Alexander, why? Why do you want these 3 things carried out? Why? And Alexander said, I want the world to know the 3 lessons I have learned in life. He said, I want my physicians, my doctors, to carry my coffin, because people should realize that no doctor can cure anybody. No doctor can cure anybody. They're practicing medicine. God has perfected medicine. He said, I want the whole world to know no doctor can cure you. Lee Markham, Brother Lee, there's only 1 physician got control of your body, and it's the great physician. We're taking things back this morning. Sister Christy, there's only 1 doctor that can heal your body this morning, and it's the great physician. Oh, glory. He said, secondly, I want this. The king described the second wish. I spent all my life earning riches but can't take anything with me. Let people know that all the wealth that you accumulate is nothing but dust when you leave here. Come on, listen to me, somebody, this morning. You caught up in things you got and not what you really got. He said, thirdly, I wish it all to know, with my arms hanging out of my coffin, that I came into this world empty and I left empty. I came into this world empty and I'm leaving empty. Only 1 thing wrong with what he said at the end. I came into this world empty and I'm leaving empty. I have 1 thing to dispute that. For a child of God, you came into this world empty. As a person, you came into this world empty. But if you get real with God, you don't have to leave empty. If you just get real with God, if you just get real with God Almighty, don't be looking at your clock. Don't worry about the time. Listen to me. Somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning. You've not been real with God. He said, if you'll just get real with me, I'll get real with you. I promise you that. I promise you that. He said, preacher, what is it going to, what am I, what you got don't mean nothing. All that means anything is Jesus Christ in your life. Saved your soul. This morning, I wonder who's been face to face with God this morning. You know, in a crowd this size, I wouldn't plan on him hitting everybody. But I did plan on him hitting somebody, Brother J.D. I wonder who this morning's ready to meet God. I wonder who's sitting in that pew this morning that may have done met God born again, but you say, preacher, I got so much sin in my life. I am so filthy. And I walk in this building every Sunday filthy. Filthy by the things of this world. And I can't get over it. What do I need to do? You need to come to this altar this morning and meet with the Master. He said, preacher, man, I've come ready. I've come relentless. And all that's good and fine, but it won't do you a bit of good if you don't get real. If you'll get, listen to me, if you'll get real with God, I promise you this morning you'll receive a change like you ain't never seen. You'll receive a change like you ain't never seen. That change will be so real in your life, everybody will be able to notice it. I know the day it changed my life, Brother Tony. I know the day. I'll never forget it. Nobody can tell me different. When God reached down with that big old hand from heaven and he applied the blood of Jesus to my life. This morning, if you don't know that this morning, what about it? My prayer is this morning, that everybody in this room is born again, washed in the blood. But see, you say, preacher, you act like we're all going to hell. Oh, no, I just know what God's put on my heart. I just know. Because you know why? Because he knows. If I was God, you know what I'd do? I'd send all y'all to heaven. Every one of y'all. You wouldn't have to do nothing. Just because you're a good old boy. I like good old boys, good old girls, don't y'all? I like them. I mean, they're good people. But see, I ain't God. And he knows the best way. He knows the only way. And that's through the blood of Jesus. I'm going to ask you this morning, Sister Denise makes her way up here and praise and worship team. I'm going to ask you this morning a question. Have you ever been face to face with God? I'm not talking about with a preacher. I'm not talking about with anything else. If you're in here this morning and you're saved and you let the things of this world come in and filter up your life with junk, you need to get that junk out. You need to get that junk out of your life. Because there's going to come a day that that body's going to be laid down. And the only thing that's going to count is that you've got real with God. And God got real with you. Well, I go through valleys sometime, Brother Tony, Brother JD. I go through valleys, man. I walk through them. Man, I walk through them just like y'all walk through them. But I'm telling you right now, there's a time in my life, my wife will tell you, all I got to do is go back to 2007 when he saved my soul, and I'm not living that way no more. What good is being saved if you're still living in that mess? What good is it? It ain't no good. What good is putting your family through it? Putting your children through it? It ain't no good. He didn't save you to put people through stuff. He saved you to deliver you, set you free. Who the Son sets free? Father, I love you. I was obedient to you. What you laid on my heart, whoever it is, you know I don't. But I know how heavy you put it on me. For that one that's born again that don't live like it. Oh, that's put your name through the mud. Father, I ask you to drag them to the altar. I know you can't overstep their free will. But Lord, I sure hope you'd put it on them so heavy that they'd want to get to that altar. Lord, for that one that's lost right now, that if I go, my husband's going to know something. For that one that says, if I go, my wife has thought this forever. They're going to know something. Lord, you ain't got to get real with people. You got to get real with you. Whoever I'm talking to this morning, I ask you to touch them. I ask you to help them. Father, you know we can't serve two masters. The Bible clearly speaks that we can only serve one master. This morning I pray that everybody in this room is serving you. It's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. All of God's people said, I ask you to stand.